Introduction to Hire. Okay, so we have been thinking about deeper, wider hire. And we have spent a long time with deeper and wider. And I feel it's now time to move on to hire. Okay? And this, in my heart, what the Lord has said, I really feel is almost like a, this is where we are, this is what we're doing, and the way God wants us to be. Okay? So, let's just recap. Okay? Because it was October last year that I started this. Okay? All right? So, we've started thinking about being rooted in God, deeper into God. And as you can see, the deeper the roots go, the stronger the tree is, especially when it's looking for a water table, okay? You can't have a great big enormous tree without really good roots, okay? You can have a bush, little bush with a little roots, okay? Isn't it funny? It always seems that actually the weeds are the ones with the best roots. But some people say a weed is only a plant in the wrong place. Okay? Some people like them. I don't know. People obviously without gardens. Okay? But we thought about being deep like a tree. Okay? And going deeper into God. Okay? Because it's so important for us to know what God, to know who God is, but not just, oh yes, he's a friend of mine I see on a Sunday morning. No, but to be under his wing. Yeah, like we've been singing and thinking about this morning, and going deeper. I mean, sometimes when we talk about sometimes being friends with people, oh yeah, is so-and-so your friend? Oh yes, they're my friend. But when you think about being someone's friend, how good a friendship have you got? You know, sometimes you might say, oh well, I know so-and-so, they wouldn't do that. You know, you get people saying, would it be a character reference for me? I think, well, okay, I can do that, but if the regulation says it's got to be 3 years and I've only known you 2 years, I can't do it. But how well do you know your friends? You know, how, you know, could you be so relaxed in their presence that you could say things that you wouldn't say to anybody else? Okay? But being a friend with God, having that friendship, that relationship with God, is something, well, we'll never get to the bottom of it. Never. Okay? But there's so much depth to go into. We also thought about the fact that no man's an island. Okay, we thought about that. And actually, however insular, sorry, that's a, however much by yourself you want to be, okay, actually, you're part of community. Whether it's your own street, whether it's your work, your college, or whether it's part of church. Okay, or part of a stitch group, or part of something else, a choir or something. You're part of a community, okay? This was our community about a year and a half ago, okay? Quite a few people aren't here now. Some got added in since then, and there were some extras. That was Jenny's farewell meal a couple of years ago. And you might remember I showed you this picture at Heen Community Centre, and the fact that when you take away the left-hand gate, you're left with unity. And how actually God wants us to be together. Okay, we took a while thinking about fellowship. We took a while thinking about being part and parcel of one another. We took time thinking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and we're not going to go back over them now. And we thought as well about going out that door there into the wider community. Then more recently we thought about the fact that the church is not a cruise ship. Okay? It's more likely to be a battleship. And then I found this wonderful picture. Do you remember this nice picture? Heading off, not into the sunset, but to the destination. Now our destination is heaven. Yeah? But we are on a journey together. Okay? This is the thing. And last week, last couple of weeks I've said this, it starts where you are with what you have. Okay? We talked about going out evangelistically. We talked about globally and missions. Okay? We thought about praying for different countries. And then last week we talked about the foundations of mission and the fact that the need is not the call for us to go. But the fact is that we've got to have open ears and willing hearts to be able to hear God's call. And I showed you that photograph. You remember I showed you that photograph last week? That mirror I had of who is God calling. It's everybody. Okay? It's not just the specials. Okay? Each one of us is called. Each one of us. Whether we are feeling like we've only just begun, or whether we feel like we've been in it forever, God is calling us. Okay? And we finished last week with, to love the Lord our God is the heartbeat of our mission. Okay? The fact that really, when it comes down to it, going out to reach other people, whether it be here in England or abroad, it's our love for God that's our driving force. Okay? So, that is a nutshell of deeper and wider. And now we're going higher. Okay? And what's in my heart for this word are two things. Higher in prayer and higher in worship. Okay? I think I told you a while ago that for Christmas last year, Rob Parks gave me a book about prayer enjoyment. And I opened it up and on the inside it said to go higher in prayer. And I thought that just fits so nicely with what God's saying at the moment. So I don't know what you think about prayer. Okay? Do you get yourself away and go up the hills? And you go up the downs once a week and you just clear your head completely and you're just there and just enjoying praying and worshipping God by yourself? Or whether you're thinking, okay, well, I've got to get through today, but I've got to spend some time praying first. And so you get to your desk. You get to your desk at work and you think, I haven't prayed yet. Quick, work doesn't start for another 5 minutes. Right, I must just pray. And that's good. But it's not be all and end all of prayer. For some people, it's getting down with your Bible, praying, meditating, thinking about Bible verses. But whatever your experience is at this point in time, prayer and worship starts with a clear relationship, friendship with the Lord. Okay? It's really important that really that is our starting point. Okay? And, let's have a look at this. Let's have a look at this. This is a bit of a fun cartoon tract that we've got downstairs. If anyone wants to take this away with them and give it to someone, I've got some copies downstairs. When the world started, man and God were really good friends and nothing got in the way of their relationship. Okay? But one day, man decided he couldn't care less. And without thinking, he threw something in the tube. Now, you've got to realise that this is a cartoon tract you can give to people and chat through. It's not doctrinally 100% correct, but it helps you put over things to other people. Okay? He threw something into the tube. And before long, the friendship was broken because the tube was cluttered up with rubbish. They were no longer on speaking terms, and it broke God's heart. But God wouldn't leave it at that. So he humbled himself, became a man, put on a new t-shirt, climbed over the fence carrying a large empty sack. And he began to collect up all the rubbish from the tube and put it into the sack. Before long, it was absolutely cleaned up, but man got annoyed with him. So man murdered him. And since the mystery man wouldn't let go of the sack, he nailed it up there with him. 3 days later, and man was feeling pretty low about things, when someone tapped him on the shoulder and said, "How about turning round?" It's a great little thing to be able to talk through to with somebody. Do you notice in that little tract how much the man did towards getting it all cleared up? Nothing. Exactly. And in John 1 John 4 it says this: in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Okay, and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Don't you just love these long Bible words? And we all know what propitiation means, don't we? Okay. The price paid to remove the root of the problem. Okay, so he, to be the, but that God's loved us and sent his son to be the price paid to remove the root of the problem of our sins. Okay? I know, it doesn't happen very often in the Bible, that word. But that's what God did. He sent Jesus. Now, you all know this. You know, I mean, this is, was it Salvation 101? Very, very simple stuff. But the thing is, as I was thinking about this and thinking about, I thought, it could get so complicated, but let's not be complicated. Let's be really simple. When you're in a family, okay, and you've got your mum and your dad and the children are born, the child doesn't think, "Am I a son? Aren't I a son?" The father doesn't think, "Is that my son? Isn't?" It just is. Yeah? Families are very simple. Okay, it's getting more complicated in today's society, isn't it? I'll give you that. But the children feel secure in their parents. Yeah? So, think about this. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we should be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Okay? God sent Jesus, came and died for everyone. Okay? He did it. He didn't do it just for us guys sitting here in church. He didn't do it for the Christians all around the world. He did it for everyone. So that everyone can come in to this good. Okay? There's a story about a little boy that was adopted. Okay? And he was bullied at school. "Oh, you're adopted. Your mum and dad didn't want you." And he was really upset about this. And so he actually went home and said, "Look, what can I do about this?" And his parents talked to his adopted parents talked to him, and they went back to school the next day, and again the jibes came and everything. And he said, your parents didn't have a choice with you, but my parents chose me. God has chosen us to have that friendship, father-son, father-daughter. Yeah? This relationship, I don't want to go on about it too much, but this relationship that God can have with you and me is, well, there's no need for anything else in one sense. Yes, we've got to live and everything, but this is it. This is the, oh, Lord, I so want to be close to you. So that prayer, in one sense, doesn't become I'll snatch a 5-minute prayer here and I'll do a little something here on a Saturday evening before I go to bed. And no, it becomes part of life. Because all prayer is talking to the Father. Yeah? Talking to the Father. And as we talk, I don't know about you, I mean, sometimes Michelle and I were in the car and we get off, we drive out of Brooklyn Avenue and we start on our journey and we've got something to say and we're talking until we reach where we're going. And that's great. And sometimes we get in the car and we drive and there's silence. Is it because we're off with one another? No. We're comfortable in each other's presence that we don't have to speak. So being in each other's presence, being in his presence, is really, you don't have to speak. Oh, I just want to go through my day. Just go through my day, Lord. And as I go through my day, I just know you're here with me and I can talk when I need to and I'm comfortable in my friendship with you so that I'm not actually having to talk all the time. I'm sure you know people who have to fill the gaps that are silent because they don't quite feel, not quite comfortable here with the quiet. Let me say something. And sometimes they say great things and sometimes, we can be comfortable in God's presence. I had another little story about a couple of boys. There they are. And they were inseparable growing up. One was a little bit older, a couple of years between them, but they really enjoyed each other's presence. They enjoyed playing together as they grew up. They still enjoyed being together. But then the dad died. And when the will was read, he left everything to one son and nothing to the other. So you can imagine the split that came. And it is such a shame that actually, story aside for a moment, it's such a shame in our society that it's money that's the thing that so often people fall out over. Yeah? There's a scripture that says, why do you not accept wrong? Enjoy the spoiling of your goods joyfully. That's a really hard one. Do you know, I can remember being on a scaffold at the top up there and fitting some timbers, okay, and I'd got my nice brand new plane, electric plane that I'd just bought. And I'd use it, I was doing that, and I'd put it down on the ground somewhere here where it was just sitting there and there were other people around working and I was back up the scaffold working on whatever I was doing there. And someone picked up my plane and went and turned it on the corner of a metal workbench. And it ripped my brand new plane. Ah! What could I do? What do you think you're doing? Sorry, Gail. What do you think you're doing? That's my new... Lord. And that scripture came to me straight away about the spoiling of your goods joyfully. I thought, okay, Lord. It's a hard thing sometimes, especially when you've got something nice and new and what have you. But it's only a thing. It is only, okay, you might have spent money on it, but it's only a thing. And I was able to just get a couple of new blades and keep it out of everyone's way after that, you know. But how do we approach what we have? I'm sorry, I'm going off topic here, I'm sorry. How do we approach what we have? No, you can't have that, it's mine. With scriptures like, and they had all things common. Okay. Not that you should be burdened so that others are eased. Okay. So I'm not saying we've got to give everything away. But what I'm saying is hold on to it lightly. Because the things we have, it's just lightly. Hold them lightly. Because that's not what we're made of. That's not us. Us is not the things we have. Okay? I can remember I had a Peugeot 505 estate, 7-seater, metallic green. It was a lovely car. I paid £100 for it. It was fantastic. It did us to Portugal and back, Germany and back, when the kids were little. It was great. And one day I was changing the spark plugs, and one spark plug broke as I was taking it out, and a single little piece of ceramic fell into the engine. I cried. I cried. My car is ruined. Because you know what, that ceramic into there is basically it. You might as well just walk away from it. And I thought, oh no. But you know, at that point in time, that was me. My car was me. Yeah? I've had to learn. The things we have aren't us. Yeah? Even the things we do aren't us. Okay? When it comes down to it, my relationship with God is first. And if he chooses to bless us with this and that, great. And if we don't get this and that that other people have, great. Yeah? Anyway, so back to our story. And these two brothers, the fact that one had got the inheritance and the other one hadn't, that was it. I mean, there wasn't much for the inheritance. It was just the house, basically. So one brother stayed on living there. The other brother, in disgust, walked out. And for years and years and years, there was never a discussion, never a chat. Then the brother with the house thought, I have got to get this problem gone. Okay, so he wrote an email to his brother. To brother@faraway.com. The problem. Dear brother, it's been so many years since we talked, and I know that you might not even read this email, but I want to tell you that the problem we have had, I have solved. When our dad died and left me the house, and you went off, not wanting to speak to me again, but it's too much for me, so I've removed the problem. I've sold the house and put the money from the sale into your bank account. I want to meet with you because, as far as I'm concerned, the problem has been put right. Your brother. Now, what would you do if you were the aggrieved party at that point? I'm glad there's nothing there anymore. Now I can go back to my brother and we can be together again. What's God done? He's reconciled us to God through the death of his son. And now, having been reconciled, we can live life together. Yeah? We can now live life together. Us and God. We mustn't carry on living as if we're estranged from God. But we must live our lives as if we are close. Because we are. Okay? We have been reconciled. We are saved by his life. So, what's God going to be saying to you this morning? How about turning around? How about turning around? Now, I know for most of us, we have got what we think is, okay, we've got a relationship with our Lord Jesus. We want it to be more. We want it to be deeper. We get sidetracked so often. But all we have to do is turn around. Now, some people would like to use, let's use Bible words. You've got to repent. You've got to believe. But you could encapsulate that in turn around. Because someone turns around, they're making a choice to do so, aren't they? Because repent, all repent means is change your mind. We used to have the game with the kids where they would run away from temptation. No, they would be running away from God, that's right, running away from God towards temptation, and then we would shout, repent! And everyone would turn around and run back, and the first one back was the winner. Okay. And great games. Repent, believe. It's not up to what you do that gives you salvation, because God has done it. Yeah? All right? And when we go out to talk to people, it's not up to them to say, oh, okay, I believe. It's good that they do. But everything that's necessary for anyone to be a Christian has been done by God. Okay? All you've got to do is turn around. And then you have father, son, father, child relationship. Yeah? Where you just feel close. Got time for a couple of really other quick stories. You know the security at the White House? It's very, very difficult to get into the White House unless you're on the sheet to be able to go up to the gate in your car or whatever, and they'll tick you off and send you where you've got to go. And someone wanted to go in to see the president. This is in Lincoln's time, so it wasn't quite technologically the same, but he still wasn't allowed in. And he wanted to go in, and he sat down on the outside of all the premises. And he sat down and he thought, what am I going to do? And this little boy came up to him and said, oh, what's wrong with you? You're looking sad. He said, I wanted to see the president, but I couldn't get in. He said, oh, come with me. So he held the little boy's hand, and the little boy just led straight through the security, straight in the front door, straight into the... It wasn't the Oval Office then, was it? But straight in, said, Dad, this person wants to meet you. That's the sort of access that we've got. I mean, in fact, we've got a better access than that. You know? We can walk into God's presence, be in God's presence. We've not got to go through security. We've not got to go through a metal detector or anything like that. We can just go into God's presence. Okay? The other story I was thinking about was about Sheikh Ali. Sheikh Ali was the president of a very large Middle Eastern state, and he had someone for everything. He would sit at his desk on a Monday morning and he would say, right, diary, and the diary clerk would come out and tell him exactly what he's got to do today. Then he'd look and he'd say, flowers, and the gardener would appear and bring new flowers for his desk. And then this would happen. And all these different things would happen. And he would just sit there, and everything came to him. What's for our presidential dinner tonight? The chef would appear. We're going to have lamb's eyes in, I don't know. But then one day, Sheikh Ali is sitting at his desk, and he hears a shout. and he looks out the window and he sees that his son has fallen from a tree branch to the ground. He didn't call for anybody. He got up and he ran himself to his son and picked him up and carried him and brought him back in. This is God's heart. Yes, he's got angels for this and he's got ministers for that. But his heart is direct contact with you and me. Okay? So, all prayer and worship, because worship comes from us to him, whereas prayer is sort of two ways, isn't it? It flows from a close relationship with God our Father. Okay? That's the starting point for prayer. I mean, in the school of prayer, I've sort of laboured that a bit every time we've talked about it. Yes, we've talked about the fact that it's the relationship with God, the friendship with God that's the most important. And then everything else comes from that. So here we are. All prayer comes from that relationship with him. Okay? So, have you turned around? Have you said yes? Have you been reconciled? Because it's all done. It's all done for you. You haven't got to wait for God. Oh, hang on a second. Hang on a second, Chris. You can't be my child yet because I've got to do this first. Or you can't be because I've got to just... No, it's all done for us to be a child of God. And with that, then we can... Oh, Lord, I just want to talk to you. I just want to talk. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you that you have made a way. Lord, we have felt like that guy in the picture with the tube full of rubbish. Lord God, but you have made a way so that we can have clear contact with you, clear communication with you, and not just a little bit here and there, but we're part of your family. And we know it, Lord, and we're so glad that we are part of your family. So, Lord, as we start thinking about prayer and we start thinking about worship and going higher in these things, we pray, Lord, that you would make our relationship with you deeper. Lord, we want to be able to hear from you. It's great for us talking to you, Lord. But prayer's two-way, and we want to hear back from you, Lord. So, Lord, take us deeper, Lord. Even this week, Lord, take us deeper so that we can go higher. Amen. Amen.